brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
And welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you.
Connor.
Connor, what's going on, man?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, at least you didn't say Corey, so.
Hey, man, I knew it was Connor, man. Just having some fun with you, man. How was the weekend?
It was fun.
Yeah, man, you look like, man, you need every day to be Friday so you can get some rest, man. You look rested. You don't look like you're dying over there. Like you normally do.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry, man. You're 20 years old, man. Or 21 years old. You're supposed to be burning.
I just party too hard, man.
Yeah. Speaking of partiers, hey, Sandy, it's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how was the party over the weekend?
There was no party. Yeah, my weekends aren't party filled, I wouldn't say. Certainly nothing like Corey's weekends, I suspect. Corey and my son Scott and I had a good couple of days in your absence. The public is glad you're back.
I don't know about that, man. I listened to you guys really ran the gambit on conversations, and clearly your sons and you have opinions, and that's what this is, right? It's opinions on a lot of different things, and that's what makes good radio.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if your only focus is on solely on politics, and that's all there is, then it can be boring in the long run. I think just talking about life issues, situations that occur that impact and affect all of our lives, I think that's what's important about radio, man.
Well, I don't know. My son Scott, I think, would like to have a microphone in front of him. He's a born entertainer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, humor has its place, right?
Sure.
I mean, you know, you got to have a sense of humor. If you don't have that, you'd wind up being Ron Johnson. Or Scott Walker.
Yeah.
You know, and how far are they going to get with that?
Earl's leading by example.
So I'll say this, Sandy. I want to begin by saying thank you and the family, man, for holding down the fort. You did.
Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers gave us a bit to talk about for a couple of days. We hadn't really, I didn't even know how you spelled ayahuasca before.
What is going on with that guy?
Wow, you know what?
I've
always said that, you know, when you ask me questions, that things are complicated. I think that's the answer about Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron is complicated.
Yeah, he's a strange bird, man. He's doing some things on the outskirts of what you would normally. He's not your all American boy, right?
Well, I don't know. I think what it is he's decided to live his life in a fairly transparent fashion. So you know he lets America know what he's doing. It's sort of like the influencers. I think maybe he's kind of become an influencer at heart. So influencers kind of let you know what they're doing. They show you what their dinner is, how they cooked it, you know, how they get dressed in the morning.
Yeah, but who really cares whether or not he's taking these different things.
Well, you and I just talked about it.
Well, we did because he's Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And but early on in his career, most people looked at him as just an all-American guy from California. And he was always soft-spoken guy, always bright, brilliant guy?
Well, he might. He's still all those things. He's just letting us look at the layers of the onion that suggest that he is a California guy, but he's just not a simple California guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and he's not going to be the guy. He's not going to be the kind of guy that sits back and basically leads a boring life. He's not going to do that. He's not going to get married right away. He'll probably be.
Well, it's too late for that.
For getting married?
No, too late. Oh, to getting married right away.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you wind up with a woman who's considered a witch in Blue? Whatever her name is.
Her name's Blue.
Yeah,
Blue. Some people end up with people who are considered a witch, but they don't know it. 20 or 30 years.
Sandy said that, not me.
Well, I didn't say that.
You weren't pointed at anybody in particular.
No.
Okay, we'll get that worked out. But yeah, he is. And then when you look at the fact that he has no relationship with his family and has not had that for a long time. That points to something, Sandy, that, you know, a guy that's successful, who is totally disconnected to his family, I mean, you know, wouldn't you say that's a bit strange?
I think that's his business, but he's let it be our business, I guess. So that's my point.
Yeah, because nobody would have ever known.
That's my point about it. I mean, he's leading a life that's more transparent than most of the NFL players might be willing to lead. And for whatever reason, he seems to bask in that. So, you know, I guess that's okay.
You know, to say that I had my greatest years because I took this. You know, he's talking about it, you know, when he was smoking mushrooms.
I don't know if he smoked
these. Eating or whatever it was.
My understanding is they make it like a tea out of it. You drink this stuff.
Okay.
And actually, it is getting a lot of attention now in the world of psychiatry. And I think that psychiatrists are legitimately using this for psychiatric treatment. And the fellow who wrote Carnivore's Delight, I'm trying to think of his name, has now written a whole book about the use of psychedelics for psychiatric treatment.
But Sandy, you and I are from a time when the term psychedelic referred to a kind of person, right?
It was the people, you know, so-called acid LSD, and people were doing LSD, and they were, it was a source of I don't know if it was tie-dye shirts.
Yeah,
and psychedelic all sort of went together.
Well, escapism, right? I mean, that's what that was. And when you hear, and I haven't heard the term psychedelics. It's been a long, long time since we heard that kind of verbiage used, and so when Aaron Rodgers uses it,
you know, the history behind LSD and psychedelics is pretty interesting. My freshman year is a long time ago at a place called Harvard. My freshman year at Harvard involved a guy named Dr. Stark, who was on the faculty there, and Timothy Leary, and they were doing experimentation with LSD during the 50s and early 60s. They were doing it funded by the CIA, and they were doing it for the purpose of looking at things like brainwashing and the ability to use it for interrogation purposes. And so when it was discovered that they were using students to experiment with the drug and to do studies of the drug, they suddenly got hauled on the carpet and fired from Harvard. But it originated as sort of a psychiatric drug, maybe for nefarious governmental use. It's now morphed back into something that's being looked at for psychiatric use. So.
Well, you know, again, I'll always, it harkens back with me with, like you said, you know, hippies and all of those people who were basically against the way the society was being run. And you know, it's...
You know, interesting, we still talk about hippies that way, but what really, hippies really originated out of the anti-Vietnam movement, And their disaffection with society in large part was the frustration they had about the inability to affect the establishment and what the establishment seemed to be doing, which was steering America down this course that included Vietnam. We talked about them at the time. We didn't, but people were identified as pukes.
Right.
You know, the people who were protesting against the war and wearing long hair. And then they were hippies, which were outcasts and outlandish. And they did behave in outlandish manners, but in large part, I think it was a manifestation of how frustrated they felt about the establishment.
Well, and the other thing is they weren't gung-ho about going to a war.
Right.
That they felt they were the ones. It was their age.
Right. I mean, hippies were the ones who were burning their draft cards. And you know, it was a conflation of sort of the teenage rebellion that occurs in every generation, the people who want to break out of the nest, and then just a group of people who were actually quite politically active, who were totally frustrated by the direction that America was being taken. And interestingly, in retrospect, they had it right.
Well, you know, Sandy, if you look at Rogers about a year ago, he even kind of looked the part. His hair had grown longer. He was disheveled looking. And people kept asking the question, why is Aaron Rodgers starting to look like that?
Well, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers might in some respects be expressing the political frustration that you and I talk about. Because right now we seem to have an establishment that wants to spend all its money on the military-industrial, you know, the defense budget. And we've got a political process that's paralyzed and it's not enacting things like maternity leave and child daycare and all these things. So maybe Aaron Rodgers is just
ahead of the curve, huh?
Yeah, he's maybe ahead of the curve. I think he might be.
You know, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.